You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. And fans of Wearable Art Extravaganza know Amy Dressel never disappoints. She joins us now. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. This weather has been kind of crazy, so I think it's a good time to have something fun come up, you know, something that people can enjoy either, you know, in their home or in person. So
absolutely. Well, before we start talking about wearable art, I just wanted to ask if you would introduce yourself for those who don't know who you are.
Sure. My name is Amy Dressel. I'm a pediatrician here in Juneau for the past 22, 23 years now. My other big outlet, besides things with theater and stuff like that too, is being a wearable artist.
And congratulations, as you were the winner of wearable art last year. Tell me about that experience.
That's funny because I kind of gave up ever winning. I just do it for fun. Last year it was a big surprise for me and my partner that does wearable art with me, Nick DeHart, for us to be winners. That was kind of exciting. I think we both were like, wait, what?
Well, you had great costumes. You want to tell us a little bit about what you wore last year?
Sure. So the theme last year was intergalactic, and we ended up making these bodysuits out of this really funky material and kind of adorning them. There's like a mango container, some yogurt containers, some Tupperware, and then the things that were recycled from our machine that we had got for testing for COVID. So we used that to make it into a backpack. And then the whole thing was lined with vials from either Pfizer, Moderna vials, you know, for vaccines. Because I thought that was kind of intergalactic to be, you know, vaccinated against crazy stuff.
You never know what you're going to encounter in outer space. I love that. I love the use of...
We were like, call ourselves hitchhikers.
Yeah, right. You had that nod to the Galaxy's Guide to Hitchhikers. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I know I'm messing up the title. People at home are screaming at me right now.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Douglas Adams. Yep.
Thank you.
We called it So Long and
Thanks for All the
Line from that book and movie.
Yeah. We're having a little bit of a connectivity issue with your audio, Amy. Sorry about that, but I'll just try to be patient and work if there's a delay, if there is one. So you've been participating for 19 years and this year makes 20. Can you recount some of the most memorable times and art pieces over the years?
Of mine or people in general, or
yeah, either.
You know, it's been a pretty wild ride, you know, coming up with stuff. So I remember going to the very first wearable art show, which was the top of the old Elks Club. What do they call that? The Rockville building, that they had a taped off T on the floor, and there was like masks and some things, some outfits people made. And I thought, this is cool. I'm going to do this next year. And I had my friend's kids help me. We glued the top of vaccine vials that come in different colors and different shapes for different vaccines. So we did a little mosaic on the back of like the gowns the surgeons use when they go in to do surgery. That kind of, it's like a papery material. So we did a mosaic on the back of one of those and, you know, lined it with things like cotton balls and syringes and stuff like that too. So that was pretty fun. That was my very first one. And, you know, a handful of them have had medical stuff in it since that's, you know, my field. That's where I'm around. So, but I also had ones that I made for other people. I had a bunch of kids once that I used leftover stuff from the Jack from when they had brought in people for Nutcracker Ballet. I had some, one that was a Lisa Murkowski's campaign stuff that was in a box that we found. So a lot of mine tend to be stuff that's found or saved for a while. My favorite one was the last year they actually printed movies on film, that I had a bunch of leftover film from the Nickelodeon where I volunteer, and so I made a whole dress and wig out of it. That was pretty awesome. It was pretty like a big bustle on the back, and we soldered a couple of film reels together on the back to make a big bustle, and then had it on the piece too. And That was a really awesome piece. I love that piece. It used to sit up in the Nickelodeon too in the lobby. People always commented on it. So that was fun. Sometimes I stick to the themes, you know, and kind of do something close to the themes. A lot of the time, Nick DeHart helps me with mine too. And, you know, he has some great ideas about stuff as well. So we kind of bounce around all kinds of different ideas about what would be unique and different and how can we make this super fun. A lot of recycled stuff.
Was there a piece over the years that was really, really challenging?
There's always stuff that's challenging. You know, there's always stuff that ends up like not turning out the way you want it to, or, you know, the glue or tape fails or whatever. When I did Renaissance, I knew everybody would do kind of a dress and that kind of stuff. So I ended up deciding, okay, what's the one thing that I appreciate about the Renaissance? And for me, that was Da Vinci discovering anatomy. So I made two pieces of body pieces that were anatomy pieces. And one of them had bones and the brain and a beating heart. And the other one had a lung that inflated and a liver and ovaries and kidneys. And the inflating lung just kept like falling out of the outfit, or it would, when they would, when she would try to use it, you know, it was supposed to work just like a lung as far as expand the lung when you move the diaphragm, and it just had issues, kept having issues over and over again. That was really super frustrating to me, but at the end we got it to work. So
that's great. And then I also have noted, having seen about 8 wearable art now, so the artists seem to spend a long time on using individual pieces to create their artwork. Some, you know, oftentimes it's things that you mentioned that are found objects or repurposed materials. So is that a big part of your philosophy when you go into a new season, a new show?
For me, it is. I like to use unusual things or things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, or stuff that people would be normally throwing away. So that's one thing I love to do. The year that was about, 6 years ago, or even, no, it was only a couple of years ago. So that was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. It was the 75th anniversary of Little Golden Books.
I remember that one.
You made that outfit out of all these little golden books. And at first we went to this, like all these places and found used golden books that like kids had drawn in and that kind of stuff. And I was totally fine with that. But because I wanted to use 75 books for it and I needed things that were bright colored, ended up after a while being like, okay, I can't use just, you know, old ones that are trashed. I'm going to actually have to get ones. But, and I felt okay because the ones that the brightest color were like the Barbie ones, or, and I'm like, nobody needs this. Nobody needs to read this anyway. So I'm taking this out of circulation. So
thank you for your service there. So in addition to being the artist, you're also the model for your wearable work. Have you ever considered using a model, or is modeling a big part of the fun and the experience for you?
No, I've had people model mine before. About 4 or 5 times I've had people. So like the anatomy ones, I had a physician and a dentist. They modeled for me. Like I said, I had ones with kids that modeled before. I've had a handful of ones that I've had people model for me. So, but sometimes it's a little bit easier doing it modeling yourself because you don't have to find someone, a time for someone to try something on and, you know, kind of change the proportions or do stuff around. Plus then you can always kind of decide on the music and the actions on the stage because, you know, trying to sit with someone and say, hey, why do we do this? Why don't you do that? I don't have a lot of time. So it's easier just to be like Nick DeHart and I usually, if it's a double piece, he'll model with me, and it's easy for us to kind of chat and just do it together. We have a lot of similar thoughts and philosophies on stuff. So, yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time on picking the right song to walk to or dance to?
Yeah, it was a little bit hard the last couple of years because he had to do songs that are not copyrighted or that are able to be broadcast because of the way that it was on the internet last year, and it's also this year going to be on internet. So it's we couldn't use like the regular songs. You have to go through a whole category of a whole catalog on this specific website to look at them. But sometimes we've come at the outfit from just like, oh, we want to use this song. Okay, how can we embody this song in a piece of that we can wear? So, but yeah, sometimes that takes a while. Sometimes the one that took me the longest was the film one because I took 70 years of music and film quotes and then put them together to make actual quote unquote music for the stage. So it had, all the quotes and music from, and we pretended to act out all these different movies in the 3 minutes on the stage. So.
Oh my gosh. So many creative ideas, Amy. Well, thanks for answering my questions about all the behind the scenes tidbits and the experience of being a longtime artist and model. But let's talk about Wearable Art 2022 Oceanic Overtures. That's happening this weekend, and I presume we will see you on the runway?
Yep, me and Nick Behart will be there.
As it's the 20th year of your participation in Wearable Art, do you have anything special planned or anything? I don't know. Can you give us any hints about what you'll be wearing?
They're definitely recycled. It was something that somebody who's helped out with Wearable Art had laying around and asked if anybody wanted to use it. And we thought, what's a fun medium? Let's use those. I was joking that everybody's first introduction to oceanic life was sea monkeys. So that became our initial thought, and kind of we went from there. So that was our
I love it.
That was our inspiration. But no, it'll be super fun. Usually I throw things into the audience and do stuff. Did not plan this year just because, I just didn't have the time.
Oh, well, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, that happens.
It does. I know it's a lot to deal with. Well, thanks for talking with me today. Thanks for being here with me today and getting us excited about Wearable Art. Lots of luck this time. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we say goodbye?
So the two shows are on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is at 8 and Sunday is at 3. There are tickets available, I think, still for Sunday. And there are also online tickets that you can buy and you can watch in your home. So you can get those through the jahc.org website. And then also keep in mind that there is going to be another, what they call living gallery, in March 4th, I think, from like 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That basically all the people take their pieces. And if they can't be there in person, they have it like on a mannequin or other people might wear them. And they're in stage. It's kind of like it's like a gallery, like you're going to a museum, and that they're all around and you can read about the piece, and there's a whole little interactive part to it as well. So that's super fun, so that you'll be able to see the pieces up close in person if you want to a couple weeks from then.
Oh, that's great to hear. Great to hear. I do like that part as well. Thanks for mentioning that, Amy. Amy Dressel, 20th year in Wearable Art. Can't wait to see what you've got in store for us. Thanks for talking with me today.
I think it'll be a fun one. You guys enjoy. And thanks again, Juno, for supporting Wearable Art.
Thanks, Amy.